George Antheil's 1925 composition, A Jazz Symphony. It was played by an ensemble of 19 players from the BBC Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Lawrence Foster, and the solo pianist was John Alley. And the orchestra will now regroup for the rest of the second half of this concert. George Antheil was an extraordinary man. He wrote over 300 musical works in all major genres, including symphonies, chamber works, film music, and operas. In many ways, both musical and technical, he was way ahead of his time. His concerts routinely caused riots all over Europe, which was then considered a sign of genius. Besides composing, Antheil was an excellent writer. He was an inventor and a student of many disciplines, including endocrinology, criminal justice, and military history. And, most extraordinary of all, he was co-holder of a remarkable patent with the actress Hedy Lamarr for a secret communication system which is today in wide use and known as spread spectrum technology, though neither he nor Lamarr ever received a dime for it. There's a story there, but that's for another time. Antheil left Paris in the late 20s and went to Berlin, and then as German society began to fall under the influence of the Nazis, he returned permanently to America. He settled in Hollywood, pretty clear from the closing bars of A Jazz Symphony, where he enjoyed a reasonably successful career as a composer for film and television. He died in 1959. Well, I pointed out earlier that John Adams's verdict on John Cage was that he was a Yankee inventor. And perhaps it's not surprising, and not so surprising that he treated music as something requiring invention or reinvention, given that his father was an industrial inventor. But how does Cage connect with the uncontested holder of the title American Original, Charles Ives? Well, the answer is that he does and he doesn't. Ives, born in 1874, was, after all, rooted in 19th century Romanticism. He was a man not ashamed to proclaim his intellectual debt to Beethoven, and we know what Cage thought of him. Yet the sheer originality of Ives, his restless experimentation, led to his appropriation by Henry Cowell as part of the American avant-garde. And towards the end of his life, Charles Ives was content to present himself as the experimenter that Henry Cowell claimed him to be. Now, what the difference is between an inventor and an original is a good question. Fortunately, Cage did admit to liking a couple of pieces by Ives, so next in this concert from the Barbican Hall, the BBC Symphony Orchestra will perform Ives's Central Park in the Dark. It was written in 1906, and it recalls and evokes an incident with a runaway horse in Central Park, New York, as witnessed by Ives himself. In trying to evoke a departing sound world of night sounds, silent darkness, street singers, the echo over a pond, Ives could not have been further away from the world of the motor car or the machine aesthetic and mechanical values of a George Antheil. There are moments of pure quiet in the piece, of which Cage would certainly have approved. And beyond that, what links Charles Ives, the American original, with John Cage, the Yankee inventor? Well, perhaps very little, except their sheer stubborn individualism. Central Park in the Dark, which we shall hear soon, the stage is undergoing a major reset, as you may have gathered. Central Park in the Dark is scored for a small orchestra of single woodwind, trumpet, trombone, percussion, two pianos and strings. The strings provide a 10-bar refrain that functions as a kind of quiet, still, sonic background of chords, and they require their own assistant conductor. Against the calm of the strings, the woodwinds and pianos accumulate a polyphonic texture of popular tunes, some real songs, some invented. This becomes wilder and wilder until it reaches a climax topped off with an ear-splitting piccolo glissando that represents a policeman's whistle, according to Ives, while the strings continue quietly to the end. With the orchestra coming back on the platform, but there's just time for me to try to tempt you with two extraordinary free events that aren't being broadcast on BBC Radio 3 tomorrow because they're simply not broadcastable. The first tomorrow afternoon brings together 340 musicians of every shape and kind in an event that will fill the Barbican's foyers and public spaces. a music circus of the kind first created by John Cage in 1952. There'll be members of the BBC Symphony Chorus, piano circus, Irish fiddlers, the Led Zeppelin guitarist John Paul Jones, a man playing five tubas at once, and the gardening expert Dr. Stefan Buzhatsky, to name just a few. And in small groups and working to their own instructions, they'll perform compositions by Cage and his contemporaries. The idea of multiple simultaneous events always fascinated Cage, and we'll hear some of that in the orchestral music later this weekend. So if I haven't tempted you with the idea of 45 minutes of chaos of sound and silence in a music circus, which we're doing twice in the Barbican foyers at 3 p.m. and again at 5 p.m. Then I failed dismally. But the second event couldn't be more different. In the exotic jungle-like location of the Barbican's conservatory, from 6 p.m. tomorrow evening to noon on Sunday, yep, that's 18 hours through the night, you can enjoy seeing a team of volunteers, some of whom you might just recognise, performing Eric Satie's Vexations, in which four lines of music for piano are performed 840 times. It sounds simple, but I'm told that most of the people who have been preparing for this find that when they get into those four lines of music, they are very, very much more difficult to control than they ever thought. So, come along for two special, possibly unique events. I think it'll be a long time before they're done again, frankly. And do remember that entry to both of them is free. As you can hear, the BBC Symphony Orchestra is now tuning up again. They're already on the stage, and we shall hear one of the two pieces, perhaps of Ives, which John Cage himself approved of. But as I suggested, they're great originals, but quite a long way apart. But that's part of the context in which John Cage worked. So here is Lawrence Foster and the associate conductor, Anthony Legg, to conduct the players of the BBC Symphony Orchestra in Charles Ives's Central Park in the Dark.